in Jesus' name. There were four widows playing cards in a retirement home when a handsome older gentleman came walking in with a suitcase in each hand. And one of the ladies said, what is a handsome man like you doing here? And he said, well, I'm moving in. And another one said, well, where did you come from? He said, well, I've been in the can for the last 15 years. They said, the can? He said, yeah, you know, the can, the clink, the slammer, the state penitentiary. And they went, oh. One of them asked, what did you do? He said, I murdered my wife and cut her up and buried her in the backyard. There was a long silence. Then one of the women spoke up and said, oh, so you're single then. Sometimes we put our hope in the wrong place, in the wrong thing. And as we look at our second lesson today from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we see that Paul put his hope in the right place. Paul, of course, was dealing with all sorts of issues, all sorts of problems in his life, all sorts of problems with the church at that time. And so Paul writes this in a few verses before our second lesson begins. In verse 8, he says, we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. So Paul is describing the conditions in which he was living, which were very, very difficult at that time. And certainly he was in much of a desperate situation. Turn, if you will, in your bulletins to our second lesson, where Paul carries on in verse 13. And he says, in verse 13, I believe, therefore I have spoken. And here he's quoting Psalm 116, in which David was quoting, was speaking in faith about his belief in God, even in the midst of his terrible afflictions that he was suffering. And so Paul here is affirming that kind of faith. It goes on in our lesson, since we have that same faith, spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us up with Jesus and present us with you to himself. So Paul is saying, even though he's suffering greatly at this time, even though there is a lot going on, he has faith and hope in God who raised Jesus from the dead. He was saying that as well that God is not dead, but God is alive. And so James Deloach, associate pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Houston, said this one time. He said, I'm not a connoisseur of great art, but from time to time, a painting or a picture will really speak a clear, strong message to me. Some time ago, I saw a picture of an old burned-out mountain shack. All that remained was the chimney, the charred debris of what had been the family's sole possession. In front of this destroyed home stood an old grandfather-looking man dressed only in his underclothes with a small boy clutching a pair of patched overalls. It was evident that the child was crying. Beneath the picture were the words which the artist felt the old man was speaking to the boy. They were simple words, yet they presented a profound theology and philosophy of life. Those words were, "Hush, child, God ain't dead." That vivid picture of that burned-out mountain shack, that old man, the weeping child, and those words, God ain't dead, keep returning to my mind. Instead of it being a reminder of the despair of life, it has come to be a reminder of hope. I need reminders that there is hope in this world. In the midst of all of life's troubles and failures, I need mental pictures to remind me that all is not lost as long as God is alive and in control of his world. End quote. I wonder how many of us have struggled with hopelessness during this past year. How many have been kind of burned out with all that's been going on and really struggling? How many have been struggling with anxiety and depression during this time? I'm sure many, many people have. Hope is so incredibly important in our lives. To simply have hope that things can get better is a game changer. Sometimes hope can be short-lived, however. There was a mother who was driving her young daughter, who was in the back seat in her car seat, to a particular place. And this mother was a doctor. And she had left her stethoscope in the back seat next to her daughter. And her daughter picked that up and put it in her ears and began to play with it excitedly. And her mother was thrilled. She thought, "Now, this is great. My daughter's probably going to become a doctor. This is wonderful." Until she heard her daughter speak into the instrument, "Hello, welcome to McDonald's. May I take your order, please?" Well, all parents have high hopes for their children. And sometimes those hopes are dashed. Sometimes those hopes are exceeded by our children. There are times in my life, where I've lost hope. I've just started to give up on the inside. And I wonder if any of you have ever felt that way before. Have you been totally overwhelmed by what's going on in your life? Maybe a family drama. Maybe you're having problems with a neighbor. Maybe it's drugs or alcohol or some other addiction. A family member who dies. Chronic pain that doesn't seem to go away. A disheartening diagnosis or financial worries. Over the years, if those burdens are unchanged, we lose hope that things can get better. But in the turmoil and the shaky hands and the tears of crying yourself to sleep, there's one who loves us and speaks words of comfort to us. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18, God says, "Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." St. Paul continues in our lesson from 2 Corinthians in verse 16 when he says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore we do not lose hope. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day." We all need that kind of vision to endure the sufferings that we go through in our lives. Paul's body was heading downhill. He was facing all sorts of troubles. He was saying that his body was wasting away and decaying. But he saw beyond his body to his eternal spirit that is being renewed every day and being prepared by God for his home in heaven. And this gave him energy and joy to press on. You and I have bodies that are wasting away. We realize we're heading toward that ultimate breakdown in our bodies. It's hard to see our bodies that we realize how we used to be in our younger years and to see where we are now in our lives. We see that our bodies are decaying, but the promise is that our spirits are being renewed every day. Now, we can see our bodies decaying, but we can't always see how our spirits are being renewed. The renewal that God is preparing for us is preparing a home in heaven for us. And before Christ came, our spirits were destined for death and judgment. But our spirits really were infected with sin, as we read about in our first lesson today, because of Adam's fall. We all have become infected with sin, and as a result, we've been separated from God and from heaven. And so we needed Jesus Christ to come along to pay the price for our sins so that we can become acceptable to God and worthy of heaven. That's why Paul is saying in verse 17, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all." Somehow, some way, the problems that happen to us in our Christian lives are there to prepare us for an eternal glory that is something that far outweighs them all. When we look at our sufferings in that light, we realize that everything that happens to us as Christians has a purpose. That purpose is to prepare in us something that we hope for in heaven: love, joy, peace, and security. Because we have this promise of eternal glory, Paul says that we are to, as verse 18 says, fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. How can we fix our eyes on something that is unseen? Well, the Bible tells us that we're to fix our eyes on Jesus. We can't see Jesus, but as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we focus on Him and what He has done, what He has said, as we focus on the promises of God, then we can really open ourselves up to all that God wants us to have in our lives. An unseen God sees us in our turmoil and pain, and He cares enough to call us out of that darkness. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be strong and let your heart take courage, all who wait for the Lord." And again, it says in Hebrews 10:23, let us hold on firmly to the hope we profess, because we can trust God to keep His promise. God is faithful. The promises that God has made to us in His Word remain true. They don't change. They don't shift or disappear. They're permanent. They're fixed and eternal. They await us. So we're to trust in God as a child trusts in their parent. Unconditional, total trust. We're to cling to the Father of the heavenly lights. There's a simple yet profound scripture, and it says this in Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. In other words, hope delayed, hope waiting, makes the heart sick. Many of us here, I'm sure, have been praying for solutions to a problem. Maybe we've been praying for healing. Maybe we've been praying for the salvation of a loved one. Maybe we've been praying for different things in our lives. And many of us have been praying for those things over many years. And many of us, have become kind of sick in heart because of this hope deferred. Our answer is delayed and delayed, and our hope begins to fade, and our hearts become sick because something called bitterness. Bitterness is when we succumb to discouragement and sorrow over the decline of hope inside of us. That's why it's so important for us to keep ourselves focused as much as we can on Jesus. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we can boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who He has given to us. Maybe you're feeling hopeless right now, or maybe you might feel that way in the near future. But I would encourage you to remember that we're to have hope as Christians. Ask Jesus to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to fill you with the love of God that can cause hope to rise in your heart again. And as you find that hope rising in your heart, then you begin to realize that God is in fact alive and not dead. Let us pray. Lord, I pray specifically for those here who have prayed for a long time for things and have just not seen answers to those prayers yet. I pray that You would give them a sense of hope for the future. Give them a hope in the things that are to come, in the life to come. Not just hope in the things of this world, but rather hope in the things that are to come. And Lord, as we set our eyes on the things that are above, things that are unseen, then help us to live this life with a sense of expectation, with a sense of hope that You're in control and that You are in fact alive. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.